picking up here. We're just continuing on. The topic is more about suffering. There's a different issue. There's a dot. I don't know where it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines down. I'm Rav Yochanan, the second line on the second word on the line. The structure of this is going to be, Rav Yochanan is going to say that two things cannot be yisur until Ahava. Okay? He's going to say, let me read inside and I'll give you a head. It says, I'm Rav Yochanan, Negayim, having Negayim, that's like Tsaras, and Ubanim, and children, which for now we'll understand to be Kovar Ubanim, burying your children, those things can't be yisur until Ahava. Okay, now the structure of the Gemara is going to be, I want to signpost, this is probably the first one we had like a regular Gemara structure, if I will. It's funny. This is our regular format. So we're going to ask Akasha, I'll bring a proof from a Braisa. How can you say that the Goyim can't be Yisur Shel Ahava? We'll bring a proof that it is. And then we'll give three Terutzim. Then we'll say, fine. Then we'll attack the second premise, which is that bearing children can't be Yisur Shel Ahava. I have Akasha and a Teretz. That's the sugya. It's small. Okay, so here. That was the thesis that Negayim and Bonim. Bonim is ambiguous, but now we're understanding it to mean bearing your children. Right? It doesn't say that, it just says children. The word something means bearing your children. Those can never be Yisur Shel Ahava. So now, Kasha on the Negayim issue. Aiva, Tanya, it says in a Braisa. Kol Misha Yeshbo Echad Ma'arba Maros Negayim Halalu. Anyone who has one of these four colors of Negayim, these are the things that make you be forced to get kicked out of the camp. Okay? There are four, Rashi speaks out, they're the Negayim that make you tummy are all white, but they're different colors white. Okay? You have what's called the Se'es, which is very white, white as snow, and you have a Baharis. Baharis is like not so white, except the white of wool, sheep's wool. You've seen it, it's very off-white. Okay? And then each of those two have a tolda, so the tolda of the Se'es, sorry, the older tolda of the Baharis, the really bright one, is white as plaster, like quick lime, like white. We call white like white paints on your walls, and the tolda of the se'es is like an egg white. So, anyways, those are different whites. The point that's the four there. Rashi picks it out. So, if you have one of these four things, ain't an elam mizbach kapara. If you get these things, chalila, you're considered a mizbach kapara. You're like an altar of atonement. You're like a walking, talking, mizbach of kapara. So, if that's true, so you see, how could that? That sounds great. I mean, goodness, great. What could be better than that? You're like you're kapara and, personified. So why can't that be Yisur Shel Ahava? So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer is Mizbach kapara havu. Yeah, that's great. You do get atonement and everything, but Yisur Shel Ahava lo havu. That's two different things. Is it atonement for you? But it's not Yisur Shel Ahava. That's something else. So that's answer number one. There are two different things. Yisur Shel Ahava comes not just to cleanse you. All your suffering cleanses you. That's something different. Vivoy Seima, a second teretz. Halan v'halahu. Now, that's an expression that comes up a couple times in Shas. It means halan. Lan is like lanu, but it's Aramaic. I mean, that's for us. V'halahu, and that's for them. Referring to the people in Babel versus people in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't really want to get bogged down too much on a side point here, but the Marsha is bothered by the fact that Rav Yochanan is Eretz Yisrael, and it sounds like Halan Valu is talking about that's the Babylonian expression. We're not going to get bogged down by that. But Rashi speaks out as like this. I think it's a fascinating insight. Rashi says, listen, Yisur Shel Ahava is bad, but there's no way that Hashem would humiliate you so badly that you have to be like sent out of town. That's what happens if you have Negoim. So he says, listen, in Eretz Yisrael, you get sent out of town. So if you're sent out of town, so like that's uber humiliating. That could not be Yisur Shel Ahava. Whereas in Babel, they're not sending anybody out of town because the Negayim Halach only applies to cities that are walled. So in the time of Joshua, it didn't apply in Babel. And therefore, out in Babel, it wouldn't be so humiliating, so it could be Yisur Shel Ahava. So therefore, the second teretz is saying that Mizbech Kapara and Yisur Shel Ahava could be the same thing, just not if it's super humiliating. The first teretz was the two different things. Okay? So that's what Rashi says. Tosel jumps up and down and says, wait a second. Rav Yochanan was writing when I told you he was writing, right? At the beginning of probably the end of the second century, early third century, let's say. And, we're way past the era when the halachas of being sent out of the walled cities of for Nagam applies, Nagam Tzeratz applies. That only applies when Yovel's in effect. And Yovel's only effect when the Shvatim are in their proper place, and that's been like a thousand years. Yeah, that happened literally, it happened in like, 732, they were kicked out of town, of BCE, and now I'm talking like, so that's a thousand years ago. How could Yochanan possibly make it Teretz, and how could he be talking about in Eretz Yisrael when they're kicked out of the towns? So therefore, Tosfos has a different approach. The issue isn't a matter of humiliation, it's a matter of Tumah Tahara, because there were makbid in Eretz Yisrael to keep Tumah Tahara. Remember, we actually put those in the Mishnah Yishuv this morning, in Demai, we learned about a chaver, someone keeping Tumah Tahara, wants to keep, Peretz Eretz Yisrael Tahor. So, that still applied in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, that was like such a big inconvenience and so bad, that wouldn't apply, that couldn't be a central Ava, but in Babel, there's no issue of keeping Tumah Tahara, therefore everyone's tummy, who cares, like we are today, Eretz is the actual land of Chutz La'aretz is Matama, so like Golden Zon Ogea, and therefore that's the Tosfos's answer. The Tzlach, brilliantly, that's he's like, I think, 17th century, Tzlach, 17th century, so he says, wait a second, Tosfos made a mistake. I love when that happens. He says, the Tosfos got it all wrong. He said, it's true that the halacha of send people out of walled cities doesn't apply with no Yovel, but that's a red herring, because out of Yerushalayim it always applies. Yerushalayim has a din like the Machnos in the Midbar before they went to Eretz Yisrael, and even before they went to Eretz Yisrael they had a din of Tzaras, people kicked out of the Machana. There was no Yovel yet, but because the Machana is talking about the different like kind of three concentric rings, and Yerushalayim considered like the third Machana, and they were kicked out of that. Point is, he says that in Yerushalayim they still were kicked out, even Rabbi Yochanan's time with Tzaras, and therefore Rashi's pshat is good. I like that. Okay, so that's the second teretz. The third teretz is Viboy Seima. If you want, I could tell you that Habitzina Habafarhesia. It depends where these Nagoyim are afflicting you. If it's in a hidden place, okay, that's not so embarrassing. But Farhesia, like where everyone can see it, you got a familiar forward, you got a big, white glob over there, it's just ridiculous. So that Hashem would never do that to you if he loves you. And therefore, Yisurim Shal Ava can never be in like a humiliating place. Obviously, these have tremendous. You can work it through, but big nafkaminas, for example, like we're learning here, that you wouldn't be embarrassed. It would be a certain shalava. Okay, fine. That's the sense. Now, so Rav Yochanan had two contentions. He said that Negoyim could never be Yisurin Ava. We come out saying that depends. Either it depends on if they're visible or not visible, or if we're talking Eretz Yisrael Babel, or that was the first teretz, right? Didn't really address it. He said, don't ask me kashas from Mizbah Kapara, it doesn't apply. Okay? But now he also said Banim. Now Banim, we were lulled into the false sense of security of thinking it means Kover as Banim, bearing your children that were born, and now you outlive your children. That's obviously terrible. And we were led into that belief, because as we just discussed it a second ago. But the truth is, we'll see that's not the pshat. So here the Gemara says, Ubanim lo, and you're telling me that being kovar as bun and bearing your kids can't be Yisrin Shel Ava. Now, hey, Chidami, how could that possibly be true? Because look, Ilema Dehavalu B'meisu. If you think the pshat is that kovar bun means you had kids and then they died on you, so that they might bury them in your lifetime. So if that's the pshat, Vaha, look at this. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan used to walk around, I don't want to say qualify yet, and he would say, he'd say, Dein Garma. Der Sira beer. He'd say, this thing in my napkin, I'm keeping my pocket over here, is the bone, learn like Rashi for a second, is the bone of my 10th child. Rabbi Yochanan buried 10 children in his lifetime. And the way Rashi learns it, he walked around the bone, and because he was so distraught over having lost all his children, and the way Rashi learns is, and the Gemara is saying, how could Rabbi Yochanan, I just told you who he was the uber god of the door, it's inconceivable that he would be getting Yisurim other than Yisurim Shel Ava. You see, he buried children, so you see, it can't be true that that bearing children can't be Yisurim Shel Ava, because something that's Rabbi Yochanan got. I'll just point out to you, just connect the dots, it's Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's statement is Rabbi Yochanan's story, right? But anyways, so that's how Rashi learns. Okay, now, there's two issues to deal with Rashi. The first issue is, all the Mefarshim ask, wait a second, how could Yochanan possibly be walking around with a bone in his pocket? We just learned a second ago, Halan Havalu, Halahu, and that's what Tosfos and Teretz was. In Eretz Yisrael, they're worried about Tumah Tahara, right? Certainly Rabbi Yochanan kept Tumah Tahara, and a bone the size of a Saora, a barley corn of a human bone, is Matamayu. So, like, how in the world could he possibly walk around the bone? Inconceivable, that's a source of Tumah. And on top of that, he's Kavuri, he's to bury it. How can he find it? The whole thing doesn't make up. So, Rashi's pshat is that the bone was less than a saor in size, and I guess he learned it didn't need kavura. So a little tiny bone chip, a tiny bone fragment. Other portion learn that there's no way wouldn't be carrying a bone, and they like the Shita Mekubetzes bring others that it was a tooth from the baby or the child, I guess the tenth child that was pulled that fell out during his lifetime. And for sure no tuma, and for sure no kavura required. So here garba means tooth. So that's how they answer that. Now, so either tooth or small bone. More importantly, what was he doing with the bone, carrying it around? So I told you, Rashi learned he was just so distraught over this that he was some sort of like, you know, he couldn't let go. Literally couldn't let go. He held on to it, right? Tosfos says, Tosfos learned not that at all. Tosfos, I don't know if he objects that particularly, but he learns something, he objects secondarily, or I mean, I should say, that was secondary issue. His primary issue, what he objects to is the whole premise that Rashi says is outrageous, says Tosfos. How can you possibly think that just because a person has suffering, that it's that if you're perfectly righteous, you wouldn't have suffering? Tosfos is not true. This is Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos throughout. But now bring it to a head here. Tosfos is not true. You can be a perfect tzaddik and you can still suffer. And that's the way it goes. So he had no objection. Tosfos learns, it is Machlokes Rishonim. Big Machlokes Rishonim, how that works. That's not pronounced. It's Vashkafa, like enormous Machlokes. We'll still see more later on in this probably the day after tomorrow, about suffering and tzaddik and Russia and so on. Not for now. The point is, Tosfos says, no way. He says, you see plenty of people who are perfect tzaddikim and they don't have any children, and you see perfect tzaddikim and they lose children, so it can't be right either way that must be essential ava. That all things, no way. Tosfos learns Rav Yochanan's agenda was simply one to console people. You know, he would walk around and tell people, "Don't worry, I know you have it tough, and I'm very sorry your son's died now. But you know, I hear where you're coming from. This is the bone of my tenth child, and just the same way, it's Yisurin Shal Avish on me. It wasn't because I did something wrong. It's not my fault. So it's also not your fault. You know, and don't blame yourself. You died, and you should be consoled." So Tosfos learned that the pshat, and since he's walking around using it to console others with the punchline that it's Yisurin Shal Avah. That's a much more like concrete raya. That was the Gemara saying, how could Rabbi Yochanan possibly have meant that kover that bana means burying your children when he himself was telling people all the time, "Don't worry, it's Yisrael Shel Ava, I've lost 10 myself." So therefore, Tosfos learns he didn't carry it out of Akhaz Nefesh, he carried the little whatever it was, the bone, in his pocket to console others, and you have no raya either way. Tosfos says, tzaddikim, you can't ask questions like that, and you know, tzaddikim might have suffering and could be for Tzivim Mechaper, for other Doros and other people, and who knows what the Yisrael is for, but he doesn't like that. And Rashi says, no, if you're a perfect tzaddik, nothing, he would not have suffering, so it must be Yisrael Shalom. Okay, fine.
Isn't it also obvious that your children, it shouldn't be Yisrael
Shalom,
otherwise 90% of the
population? No. We're not saying that when you lose a child, it's certainly Yisrael Shalom. We're not saying that.
No, I'm saying when you lose it, it's just like, I'm very tired.
Yeah, I'm saying, so when you bury a child, we're not saying that's certainly, we're saying that could be Yisrael Shel Ava. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan saying, anything can be Yisrael Shel Ava, but not these things. No. Well, so the Havamina was burying your children, but now we're about to say we're giving a second teretz. Ella, it was the Gemara, Ella, what Rabbi Yochanan meant.
Russia, the good life, credit to the Rudy.
I know. So, good point. That's the making of conservative rabbis, though. We're not going to go there. That's true. so we answer. No, what Rav Yochanan meant was. Sorry. Ella, hadlo havale klal. To never have had a child in the first place, that could never be Yisrael Shalava. That Hashem wouldn't do to you. To have a child and bury him, that could be Yisrael Shalava, and it happens to Rabbi Yochanan. But to never have a child, that couldn't be. Hashem wouldn't, that's not a recipe of Yisrael Shalava. That's something else going on. Right? Vahad havale mesu. But if you Rabbi Yochanan had them and they died, that chalila, that's Yisur and Shalava, potentially, it could be Yisur and Shalava. But then the infertile and unable to have children, Hashem wouldn't do that as Yisur and Shalava. And how does he know that? I guess like a Kabbalah. It's not like, it's not like any, I don't know, it's a compelling logic, what it has to be. Maybe you know, this is where Shakespeare got it, you know, Benetz have loved and lost, never loved at all. Maybe it's worse. Maybe it's a shot. Then, like, what we saw in the previous sugya, I'm speculating now, speculation. The previous sugya we said, we learned, and that's the Mefarshim learned, Hashem wouldn't do something so bad to you as to humiliate you in public. Now we had the shot, humiliation, that would be too much by the Nagoyim. So, it could be maybe that not having children at all is too extreme a suffering that Hashem would give that out of love, that he wouldn't go to love something else. Maybe. And if that's true, so then you would see here that it's certainly worse to not be able to have children than to have children or lose them, although God forbid we shouldn't know any of that stuff. Okay.